You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Sweet, a lady's guide to bro culture. My name is Gina Bloom, and this is the podcast where I, a transgender stand-up comic, bring on some of my favorite funny ladies and non-binary folks and have them experience bro culture for the very first time. On this podcast, we've listened to music, we've watched a lot of movies, we've done a lot of bro-y things on this show, but today is our very first video game-based episode. And we have a very special video game indeed. It came out in the fall of 2018 to universal acclaim, just about, and a $750 million opening weekend. That is the second largest weekend in the history of entertainment.
Wow.
That's a lot of fucking money for one thing to make in 3 days. The highest, by the way, Grand Theft Auto V, also released by this company, made $1 billion in 3 days. So to say that this is a part of the culture is kind of an understatement almost. It may in fact be the culture or very soon be the culture. But we're going to talk about it with a first-time gamer and a long-time gamer. And yes, we are indeed talking about Red Dead Redemption 2 by Rockstar Games. This is the game where you play as Arthur Morgan, an outlaw of the Old West, as he navigates an honor code, I guess is what we're doing. We try to either be a good person or a bad person, fulfill various missions in this open Wild West world, and then eventually die of tuberculosis, if I'm not mistaken. $750 million to watch a guy die of tuberculosis. But my guest today, from what I remember, has never played a video game. Is that correct? Or has not played much video games?
Not much.
Not much. Okay. And certainly not in the video game culture. Mm-hmm. And my first guest is Anya Vols. Anya,
hi.
Say hi.
Thanks for having me.
And next to Anya is a longtime gamer and friend of Anya's and also a very funny comic. Both of them are very funny comics in the New York City area. Say hello to Mike Racine.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, doing good. We're doing great. All right, so Red Dead Redemption 2. I had not played this game. I actually bought it right before my breast implant surgery, as I thought it would be a good way to recover from surgery, and I just never got around to it. I watched like Mrs. Maisel instead, and like,
I mean, it's a pretty masculine thing to get into right after a breast implant surgery.
I kind of like the balance.
Yeah,
like,
sure.
I just got lady tits, and I thought maybe I'd want to do something doodly for a while,
yeah.
just to set the scales right. But I just never got around to it until you and I talked about coming on the show, and you said you were not a video gamer, and I thought, mm-hmm. Well, this is a perfect opportunity for both of us to play it.
Yeah.
And tell us about Anya. Tell us about your play experiences. Like, what did you and Mike do for the past few days with the game?
Well, we played for like 4 or 5 hours yesterday,
yeah.
I would say. He had beat the game, so we just kind of like walked around,
yeah,
in that state of things, and just tried on some outfits, some hats, got the guy a haircut. And then we started a new campaign so I could like see what the the like beginning levels are like.
Right, right, yeah.
Did not get very far, but did try some things out. And then we watched a couple videos of other people playing the game.
That seems to be
so
like
I could see how it's done.
That seems to be like a popular thing now. Like when I was a video gamer back in like high school and college, like YouTube wasn't really a thing. So like it's kind of surprising to see how much people enjoy watching other people play video games now.
Yeah, I mean that's before I was really into World of Warcraft, so I can't say I've never gamed, but I wasn't like particularly good at it. But other than that one game, my only experience with gaming has been watching my brother play games. And so that's, I totally understand why YouTube is like a big thing, because that's the only enjoyment I've ever gotten out of games is watching people play them. I really don't like playing them.
All right, Mike, tell us about your experience with Red Dead. You'd beaten the game, and like what your level of like gaming acumen is.
Well, there's a lot of hats.
There's a lot of outfits. Yes.
A lot of haircuts. Yeah. I did spend a lot of time in the game just adjusting my guy's facial hair. You know, cutting his hair. There's also a hair tonic that makes your hair grow faster.
Oh, wow.
So switching between, long and short hair.
Biotin, cool.
Yeah.
My girlfriend was watching me play, and she was like, every time I look over, you're changing the guy's hat. And that's like a big part of it, because there's so many, I don't know, there's a lot of shirts, there's a lot of outfits. You want to pick an outfit that's true to the character, not too, over the top.
And from what I understand, like, there's like appropriateness of the outfit, like, depending on what the situation is.
Just the weather. So if you're wearing like a heavy winter coat, your stamina core is going to drain slower or faster. And then if you're cold, your health is going to drain faster.
That was my number one fascination, was that there's all of these outfit choices, and the only thing it actually impacts is
the temperature.
Weather related. So what's the point of all the other elements?
Just for enjoyment.
Purely for
aesthetics.
I get, but I was not expecting it from this game.
Yeah. There's other stuff you like. Even with your weapons, you can like change the varnish on your gun. You can change the metal. You can wrap. You can put wraps on it. You can put engravings on it. Stuff that you never see. But it's just, I don't know. I guess it just makes the game more fun. But it's also a little overwhelming.
And how do you normally play, Mike? Like when you played it through, like what did you find most enjoyable about it?
I did the story, but I also liked doing the side missions and side quests I mean, the combat's fun. Hunting is fun. Actually, so I started a new campaign. So Anya came over. We played for like 4 or 5 hours. And then I was up till 3 in the morning playing again. And I started a new... I started the game over. And now that... So there is like an honor system. Now that I'm playing again, I'm playing more community minded. I'm giving more to the camp.
Yeah.
Because when I first started, I was like, I just want to get through and unlock the levels. But now I'm like, so you're in like a band of outlaws. So now I'm like, I got to bring some animals to the camp. I got to donate some money. And so there's a million different ways to play the game. And I also like found stuff that I didn't find the first time around. So I might just play this till I
continue
die.
To yeah. Keep playing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of like life. There's just so many choices that you can make.
Yeah, there was like a lady like digging up dinosaur bones, and she was like, if you find dinosaur bones, let me know. I'll pay you good money. And that didn't happen the first playthrough.
Wow. Anya, you're about a 5-hour veteran of Red Dead. How do you feel about what you've experienced?
I really like, I think the reason I liked World of Warcraft when I played it when I was in like middle school was the like role playing, just like diving into a completely different world and like you are this character element. And a lot of games have that, but it isn't necessarily a world I want to be in. Like I've played Grand Theft Auto and get it. It's fun, but it's like I can't really get lost in it for hours. And this I could see myself just being like, I'm just gonna like walk around. Like this is so fun to just be in this like very beautiful, well animated and like well thought out reality.
Yeah, it's a big, beautiful video game world. And I'll give you my a little background on my video game experience. For like a little while, I want to say maybe until I was 24, I was a really solid gamer. I was going to write for like one of the gamer magazines. It went under right before my articles were supposed to come out, so that didn't happen. I was a playtester for EA for a little while in their Orlando office, and I had basically played all of the early consoles, and then like then onto the Grand Theft Auto games, and then like about 8 years ago, I just sort of got over it. And then 3 years ago, I transitioned, and then I hadn't even thought about the video games. I actually have a video game console in my living room. It belongs to my little brother, and he just left it when he moved out because his girlfriend has a PlayStation 4. So he's like, you can have this shitbag Xbox One. I'll take the good stuff. So I hadn't really played a video game with the exception of like maybe Grand Theft Auto 5 for a few months. At all, like the 2010s. Like, this is like my first game experience in quite a while. And I gotta say, like, I was just kind of bored. Like,
really?
Yeah. Like, I
can see that for sure.
Yeah. And like, maybe it's because like I sort of like grip on like an old school, like platformer type a game where it's like everything is just kind of coming at you all at once. And like, I'm not used to having to like plant shit and like hunt like pheasant. For like a
well, there's
of
something
hours.
About it that kind of reminded me of why I kind of like I've never been able to get into like D&D.
Where there's a, like, definitely a D&D aspect, yeah. Absolutely.
Where it's
Thank
just
you.
Like there's just so many choices that seem so trivial, and it's just like how is
yeah,
this serving?
Yeah,
yeah. How is this serving the greater purpose? Like, how are we? Like, how is this supposed to keep my attention if I have to make all of these, like, very minor decisions? And so I definitely, if anything, playing this game made me want to play WoW again more than it made me want to keep playing this game. Because WoW is all about just like, all right, what's next? It doesn't, like, make you just kind of hang out in one thing for too long.
Gotcha.
I also, I gave Arthur Morgan this time around, I gave him like a mustache and some light mutton chops.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah. And Love I was it. Like, that's a man.
The fashion choices are yeah, are yeah, significant. Yeah.
But yeah. Also like his default outfit is like kind of perfect. Like it's just a blue shirt with a bandana and yeah. pants and suspenders. And it's like, that's who Arthur Morgan is. He's like a rugged, dumb, he's been an outlaw his whole life. You know, right. It's not really, you don't really need to put him in like a...
Like they...
Purple jacket.
I feel like they could have made it a game where this is his outfit and you don't need to think about it again. And I don't think anyone would have noticed.
But video, like, that doesn't, like, fly today. People would be mad. Yeah.
It is. I did a lot of research on, like, how the video game industry has changed. And it sounds like positive stuff. It sounds like with Red Dead, like, they really took, like, a lot of time to, like, think about, like, the impact that their games have had in the culture. Like other Rockstar games, so they try to make it where there's like consequences for being violent.
Yeah, they're like woke.
They're like, yeah, right.
That's like, yeah, your honor points go up if yes. you attack the KKK.
I did see a video of that last night where like.
But also, they put the KKK in the game.
The KKK
so, like,
is in the game,
you
and
didn't
then,
have
like,
to necessarily do that.
And like, he takes the wizard or whatever of the KKK, and he like feeds him to a bear. And like it's incredibly gratifying. Like I like that, but like it would take me probably 60 hours of playing to get to the point where I can kill KKK guys and feed them to bears.
Yeah, we ran into the KKK when we were playing, and they were before we even attacked them. They were lighting each other on fire. So I think there's also an element of making yeah. the KKK have like a Dumb and Dumber vibe, which I think was a yeah. funny...
Yeah,
like...
Reddit was not happy about that scene.
Really?
They're, like, they're making us look stupid in this game.
Yeah, well...
Yeah,
Red
thought...
Red Dead is woke. I'll say it.
I Yeah, it is.
They're woke, but...
white dudes.
Yeah, and yeah. you could argue that they're kind of like not woke enough because like the main characters are all white men. The two characters that you play as are white men, and I guess yeah. there is that, like... But then I guess also, like, they need the game to sell well.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's kind of, like, the dodge of, like, yeah. why they didn't have, like, you know, a black superhero for like Marvel movies, and because
yeah, but
like,
then Black Panther.
Then all of a sudden, Black Panther makes more money than all those movies put together. And like,
well,
oh,
Anya can tell you when we first started playing the game, about the horses that I had.
Oh yeah, yes. He made sure all of his horses were female.
Oh,
because Mike is woke.
Yes.
Red Dead is woke. Mike is woke. I'll be the first one to say it.
helping out the female community of horses. Yeah.
Yeah. The if lady anything, horses. Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to necessarily get into the gender implications of having all of your labor animals be female,
right.
But I don't know. That is neither here nor there.
They are treated very well. I brush them.
That's true. That's true.
I feed them and I wash them.
Yeah, they're good horses.
Yeah, there's a lot of horse maintenance in the game too that is required.
I imagine that
there's
those
a ton of maintenance.
It like reminds me. Yeah. My parents got me this video game that I tried to get into as a kid that I just couldn't do. Like, because they were like, we spent all this money on a PlayStation. It can't only be for her brother. Like, that was their logic.
That makes sense. So, that's good of them.
Yeah, and I didn't really like the games he was playing. The only game I liked of his was Grand Theft Auto, and they were like, well, you can't play that because you're 8 years younger than him, and like, we just don't want.
Yeah.
So I would play it when they weren't home, and then when they were home, I had to play this weird like Barbie game they got me that was like Barbie's Cowgirl Adventure, which is just, in retrospect, I think both of my parents would be very embarrassed that that's what they got their daughter.
It's just four girls, like they just made it to have. Yeah. So
it's
girls.
Just like, okay, what do girls want to play video games about? And there's a lot of similarities to Red Dead Redemption in that there's a lot of outfit choices, a lot of horse maintenance,
yeah,
a lot of like having to do the same like little mission over and over again until you get it right. I couldn't help but see that comparison. And your girlfriend also made the comparison that it's like your pretty
said
princess.
It's like pretty princess.
It's just so many outfit changes that, and yeah, hair changes.
Yeah.
Now I want to think that, you know, my experience as a baby trans, as an unout trans, one of the reasons why I played a lot of video games back then, especially The Sims, was that it allowed me to be someone that I wasn't.
Totally.
And I
like a man, like a
yeah,
like a, I mean, for me, like a tough guy.
Yeah.
Is that what you did on The Sims, or are you
no,
saying,
just in Red Dead?
Yes, totally.
Guy who can fight.
And yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that, you know, in the trans community, like, there's a lot of gaming going on because you do get a lot of, like, you get to play as someone that your body isn't. And, I was like, that if I could have been, like, you know, like some, like, gunslinging, like, you know, saloon prostitute in Red Dead, I absolutely would have.
That's the thing, right? Yeah, I think that there's
absolutely would have, and I would have, and I'd probably still be playing it.
Yeah, me too, honestly. I was surprised that there's, like, you know, women and people of color even included in the storyline outside of just, like, as, like, obvious props.
Yeah.
But it sucks that you can't really, like, play as them or interact super heavily with them in an interesting way.
Yeah, because I, like, even in Grand Theft Auto, like, in Grand Theft Auto 5, there's three playable characters, and two are white men, and one's a black guy.
Yeah.
And then, but it's been mostly white guys as the playable character. But then another game I just played, Far Cry, like, you can make your character whoever you want
right,
to be.
Right, right.
And I made my guy a black man, and looking back on it should have been a black woman, but, like, nobody's perfect, and I'll try to
you
do better.
You are very, very woke, Mike. You should have played as a black woman.
Yeah.
She should have been very empowered.
Yeah, just to get the experience.
Yeah, yeah, like, the authentic experience.
The authentic experience, yeah, as a black woman in
you
the world of
Far Cry. Store or something. Or like,
yeah.
Yeah. What was I going to say? Oh, but it's also, like, so much goes into the game and so much voice acting and stuff.
Yeah.
And, like, so, I don't know. I wonder what the future of games are going
to
be.
It took them 6 years to make this.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
it would be, for them to take the notes from from this game and to make another one would be, I mean, I'd be surprised if we're not all underwater by the time that was able to happen.
We're underwater in a much... We're in an underwater, much woker society.
Yes.
That's like, okay, nice try, but this time we have these problems.
That's right. The remnants of a very woke society.
I think that's why a big part of why I've never really been that into gaming in the first place is that I don't really feel, not to use this like buzzword, but I don't really feel represented in games.
Oh, I hear you, definitely.
And,
yeah.
And in the culture as a whole, I feel pretty excluded. Like, honestly, now I have thicker skin and I was ready to walk into whatever playing with you, but I was very pleasantly surprised with how much Mike was just trying to teach me the game. Because usually when I'm playing a video game with dudes, it's just like an exasperated frustration that I don't have this like innate ability to play because I didn't grow up playing these games. And that's why I never really played, because my brother would just be like way too frustrated to actually teach me how to play. And he was the only person around me that played. And then by the time I was around other people that played, I had like missed the window on learning how to play games. And now I'm just like an adult who's like, I don't know. I'm supposed to adjust where I'm looking and where I'm walking.
And
this
there's
is too complicated.
So many fucking buttons on these things now.
It's yeah.
Like the controllers have like 15 buttons. It's,
and I could just have poor hand-eye coordination. I'm open to that. But I also think that I just missed like the formative window of like being able to like, for this to be intuitive for me. Yeah.
They're pretty similar, though. Like, once you play one, you kind of get the feel for a lot of them. And a lot of the buttons are the same.
That's why,
like,
that's what I'm saying. Yeah. I think that if you got the feel for one 10 years ago, you can get, you, like, launch much more easily into them now.
I think if you wanted to be good at it, you could.
I agree. You know. What I'm saying is you're the first experience I've ever had of somebody being like, you can do it. I want you to try it this time. Like, I kept being like, can you just beat the game in front of me?
Well,
like, I don't want to play.
Let's all celebrate Woke Mike, the gamer, with his team of lady horses and his and his gentle ways of teaching.
Yeah.
The art of video gaming.
I mean, it's a very low bar to just, like, say you're going to teach somebody something and then actually
attempt
to teach them. But
I remember,
in general, my experience has been, like, just like feeling guilty for not immediately knowing what to do.
The greatest nightmare I had growing up was when my mom would say, teach me the computer. Like that was like the worst time. She'd be like, teach me the computer. She's very thick accented Filipino woman, had no idea how to work a computer, but every few months she'd get a weed up her ass about learning the computer. And I would get so frustrated. Now I feel like I'm my mom. I feel like I have no patience to learn how these modern newfangled video games.
Well, Anya was teaching me. So I was showing Anya, there's a really fun level in the game, and I was showing her a YouTube video of it.
Yeah.
And there's a part where, so there's a young boy in your camp gets kidnapped, and then all your crew goes to rescue him, and it's one of the greatest things that's ever happened to me in my life. Like, that
it was
level.
Also very sweet when he was telling me why he liked it so much. He was like, I just want to go do something with my boys.
Yeah, me and my friends never do anything together, and it's like your whole squad going to rescue this kid. Like, that's awesome.
Oh, that's nice.
And
yeah.
It really warmed my heart.
And it's
it
a
also
made
me sad.
It's a slave owning, it's like there's like these two families, and one, because part of the game is the American South. So there's these two families. They're like former slave owners, and your gang decides that they're going to rob them both. Then they catch on that you're robbing them, and they kidnap a guy in your group's son.
Okay.
So the whole, they're like, and then Dutch Vanderlyn, who's the leader of the gang, is like, we're going to go get him back. Let's go. And they're like, you just ride to the mansion and you kill everybody in the mansion. And it's great. So then,
with your boys,
with
very
your boys,
Django Unchained, getting in there and just killing everybody in the mansion.
Yeah. And also, like, I mean, you guys should watch it, because every actor in this scene just like kills it.
Yeah.
Like, Dutch is like kind of a bad guy, but he goes to the thing and he's like, whatever problem you have with us, alleged, that's a young boy. And then he like just pops the guy in the head and you all start shooting. And then he finds the old lady whose mansion is, he like drags her out by the hair and he's like, where is he? And then your guy goes, why'd you take the boy, Mrs. Braithwaite? Like this guy, Hosea, who's like the older guy in the he's like the older mentor, you know?
Yeah.
He's like, why'd you take the boy, Mrs. Braithwaite? And he goes, boys are off limits. And that was just such a funny thing. And I wanted to
take a screenshot.
I wanted to take a screenshot of him being like, boys are off limits, and just being like, anybody defending Michael Jackson, this is for you.
Well, there you go. Absolutely.
And yeah, so then, well, you go ahead, Anya.
Well, so the screenshot it didn't, the like speech at the bottom of the screen didn't line up.
It didn't just have his words. It had some like of her words
too. Above it. And so you couldn't crop it out. So I was like, well, you should just take a video because I'm very young and hip and know about social media. And I was like, a video is going to do better anyway on Twitter, at least. So then I like coached him through like editing the video down.
She helped me edit the video. Then we tried to put on Instagram, but an Instagram video has to be at least 3 seconds long. So it wasn't long enough. So I was like, you know what? I'll just put it on Twitter. So we finally figured out to put it on Twitter. And then we got this. And I was just like, yeah, anybody defending Michael Jackson, this is for you. Boys are off limits. Yeah, there's tons of YouTube videos of people like just throwing Molotov cocktails at people and blowing up wagons and stuff. And like, yeah, your honor level goes down and then the law is all over you, and then you go to jail. You'll either go to jail or they'll kill you, and then it costs money to die every time you die. You lose like
Which is true to life. It's very expensive to die.
Yeah, it's very expensive to die.
No, $150, and then you're alive again. Yeah, your horse is right there with all your stuff on it.
$50 and like $1,890, that's like $30,000 now. So yeah, that's a significant amount of money.
Yeah, totally.
Another thing that's funny about the game is like, so it's all about like Arthur trying to redeem himself before he dies of tuberculosis. And he like feels bad about this one family that he's like shaken down for money because like the father passed away, and then it gets progressively sadder. And so at the end of the game, he hears, you know, their voices and stuff. And he's like, I got to make things right before I die. And throughout the game, you've killed maybe like 1,000 police officers and just people who are like doing their job.
That is true. That this is the problem that I had with like a lot of movies. I remember in like the Marvel movies and especially in like the DC movies where like they forgot that there's collateral damage. And then that became like a subject like I know the big thing like Batman versus Superman was that they killed half of New York City by accident.
Yeah.
And then they're like, "Oh, yeah, that wasn't too good of us." And like I kind of get like that like a sort of like morality after the fact. Like it's nice that it's there, but it's still a bunch of indiscriminate pixels getting murdered. It's still fake. So like there's still an unreality to it.
Yeah.
Which is probably a deeper read than I think Red Dead Redemption really needs, but
I don't know. I think you made a good point up top where it's like this is a huge part of our culture.
Yeah.
And I think Red Dead Redemption is a better like video game to sweep our culture than Grand Theft Auto was as far as like morality is concerned. But it's got some work to do for sure.
But does it though? I mean, even I'm going to do the ultimate fucking dude thing because I did spend most of my life as one. I'm going to play devil's advocate.
Uh-oh. Do you have an air horn to play?
Yes. Talk about it.
Yes, I'm going to play. Exactly. I'll get a little vuvuzela in here. I'm going to play devil's advocate and say that video games don't really have that responsibility. Like, their responsibility is to be entertainment. And, like, the fact that they're trying to make it woke, maybe that's just like an extra way to market it. Maybe that's a way how they get.
I think that's a cop out though, to say that video games are just supposed to be entertainment, because like that's what we're paying for.
Yeah.
And so yes, definitely provide entertainment, but if you know, it's like the same thing as like TV and movies are held to this standard, or we attempt to hold them to this standard. Right. All the time, and musicians get held to this standard a lot, where it's like, okay, yeah, your job is this thing, but you recognize that you are impacting people and influencing people, and children specifically, for all of the above, are, whether we like it or not, consuming all of these things.
But is it because the sprites are getting more lifelike? Because, like, Pac-Man was really violent to like little blue ghosts. Like he killed those things pretty indiscriminately, but they were sprites. They didn't look like anything that we cared about.
Right. Well, I think that's a good point. Like I don't think that's necessarily like negates what I'm saying though, because Pac-Man was also not like a something that we could identify with.
Sure.
But,
yeah.
But I think it does find the balance pretty well though. It's fun.
It's fun. It does try to like, what I like about the fact that it does try to like insert its own version of morality is that it adds an extra level of challenge to the game, which keeps it from being like another like indiscriminate kill fest.
Yeah.
Also, there's a certain level where there are kids and you can't kill them. Like, you can throw dynamite, but they just kind of fall over and get back up.
I saw that. Yeah, I was very entertained by the fact that the kids are invincible.
Yeah.
Like, they will not die.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They will get hit. You can trample them with your horse.
Yeah.
But they will get up and run away.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting you can't, like, have sex on it or in it.
So there is a level where... there is a level where you go to a hotel and you can take a bath, and then for an extra 50 cents, you get a deluxe bath, and a very large or sometimes smaller breasted woman comes in.
Not that anyone's noticing.
She goes, "Need some help there, cowboy?" And she'll wash you. And then you can tell her what body parts to wash or to make small talk. And I was like, what's the right combination so that this woman will, maybe jerk me off or be like, go in the hell, like, and I couldn't figure it out. And I spent maybe like 20 minutes taking two deluxe baths trying to figure out what was the right combination. And you just don't fuck in the game.
You just don't fuck in the game.
But you also have like a wife. So if it wasn't going to happen.
No, but Arthur Morgan doesn't. Okay. He's like a single guy. He's a single, like.
But by the time you're the other
mutton
guy.
Mutton chopped.
Yeah.
Yeah. John Marston doesn't. Yeah. He doesn't.
He doesn't consummate.
He doesn't fuck around. On Abigail.
Well, I just feel like if there was any opportunity to have sex, it would be with your own wife. So if it's not going to happen.
Yeah, and all you can do is antagonize her.
Yeah, the options are to greet and antagonize.
That's interesting. Antagonize, yeah. Greet or antagonize.
Which is, I mean, very true to life.
That's,
am I right?
That's most men's options with their relationships.
Yeah.
Do I want to say hi? We don't want to annoy this bitch.
So then your other options after you antagonize are like to diffuse or... keep antagonizing.
Of course.
And then when you diffuse it, he goes, "I'm just joking. Why'd you take me serious?" And Anya goes, "Oh, he's a gaslighter."
Yeah, I was like, all right, we're dealing with a gaslighter. Like, damn.
Yeah.
That's his best, like, option of diffusing.
That's
I don't know why you had to take
You're
me all serious. Yeah.
Yeah.
That points to perhaps a disturbing potential future trend, like a gaslight simulator or something like that, where you can just like mistreat your spouse,
yeah,
and try to make them believe,
yeah, disturbing future trend.
Their own eyes.
Yeah. Also, one of the coolest characters in the game, I think, was Javier, and he's a Mexican guy.
Oh, okay, yeah.
They could have made him the main character.
They could have. Yeah, I feel like there's plenty. I mean, I'm sure it's very complicated and like changes the game to have wildly different characters. And also, honestly, how much are we trying to play any like female characters in that time period at that like junction in history?
Yeah, like press X to use the broom.
Well, not with that. Okay. Well, yeah, sure. But also, just like a lot of it is just like you're probably not to be too like. Graphic, but you're just gonna get raped a lot if you're doing all the same stuff that these guys are doing, like running around causing wreaking havoc.
Anya writes a letter to Rockstar. She's like, "There's not enough. This isn't accurate enough.
This isn't accurate enough.
I wasn't raped.
not enough rape.
I'm a
in
feminist,
this
but I'm also a historian,
yeah,
and I
history.
Need the accuracy.
Yeah.
I need something to be angry about.
I mean, well." I guess, but also the historical accuracy of a man killing 1,000 people with very little recrimination, probably not that accurate either. So I think they could have.
I mean, that's, but if there is any time period for that to be most likely, it's the Wild West in that, like, whatever, 1800s. I don't know.
You just got to lean into the cop killing thing.
You just got to lean into it. Yeah.
Well, even so, like another piece of media that deals with the Wild West that I'm familiar with is the Shia LaBeouf film Holes. Has anyone else watched that movie? There's like these flashbacks to the like
kissing Kate Barlow.
Yeah, kissing Kate Barlow. And even when dealing with her storyline, and she's, you know, this like female bandit in the Wild West, they deal with like sexual assault and harassment with her in a children's movie. It's just a kiss, but it is implying something else.
Yeah.
It's a violent...
It's standing in for something else.
Yes. So it's like, if even this children's movie was going to address that being a woman in this time period is tough... I think Red Dead would probably do it too.
Okay, so to recap, Anya says not enough rape.
Okay, I don't think that's at all what I said. I think that's probably the complication that they're avoiding by not having a
She said Arthur Morgan's not enough of an anti-rape activist.
That's true.
She wants him to be like
a little too pragmatic. He's not woke enough.
Yeah, I mean, if honor is such a big deal in the game, you'd think defending women
would be
part of it.
Good point.
Yeah,
I stopped a couple rapes in the game.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. So they do touch on the subject.
Not to be, you know, not to toot my own horn.
Not to play devil's advocate.
Yeah.
Interesting. My gosh. Yeah, we didn't talk about that at all, though, because we were talking about if there like the existence of sex is almost not acknowledged in the game, and we did talk about that, but.
Yeah. There's a part like some lady kisses you on the forehead, and that's like the most that you get.
Yeah. All right, let's go a little broader for a few minutes here. Anya, you said earlier that you didn't have a lot of video game experience because, let's go back into that. Why was that again?
Well, I mean, it didn't feel like there was room for me in that world,
right.
Growing up, and even though I grew up in a more progressive time than like a lot of my peers did, because I'm like 10 years younger than pretty much everybody I talk to. But even in the like early 2000s and like late 90s, we were still like girls do this and boys do this. And that was like a huge part of childhood. And I think that's even still permeating parts of culture for children, but it's like far less so these days. But when I was growing up, it was definitely like the fact that my parents were like, she'll want the Barbie video game is like indication enough that like what my brother was playing would not be interesting to me because boys like these things and girls like these things.
Gotcha.
And then my brother was also like super rude to me about not being good at it right away.
My little siblings were vicious fights over the consoles. Yeah.
Yeah.
My sister played Grand Theft Auto too, but she was kind of hands off. Like she just liked to drive around.
That's kind of what I like to
do
too.
Right, just wreck the car. Yeah.
Yeah, I was also not like hugely competitive, at least not in the traditional sense of like winning and losing like competitions. Maybe I'm competitive in spirit, like in life, but so it never was like a huge like pull for me that like I could beat a game. I was just like, okay, who cares?
And Mike, when did you get started gaming, and what was that like when you were first starting out?
I had a Nintendo when I was like 6 or 7, so I've been doing it a long time off and on. I had I had N64, PS2. I had an Xbox 360, and I got a PS4 like maybe 2 or a year and a half ago. And I just like having it. I just like having something to blow off steam and unwind. And yeah, but I do go through spurts where I will play it a lot. I think I played it for like 13 hours yesterday.
And like, take me back to like those younger days. Like what was it like then to play the games? Like what did they mean to you as opposed to now where you're an adult that has like responsibilities and an arts career and all of that going on?
Yeah, I guess it was just fun, and I guess it was just a way to, like, even I remember coming home from school and, like, not liking school, but being able to just go blow off steam and play, you know, Call of Duty and Medal of Honor. And
not really, like, not a really, like, female-inclusive environment, though.
Yeah, but I never, like, thought about that.
Of course not.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, no.
It's part of the problem, Mike.
Yeah, but a lot of games, but I heard that like a lot of games in the 80s were sort of like gender neutral, and then some kind of report came out that said like, oh, video games are for boys, and they started marketing them specifically for
like the
for
early
boys.
Early history of video
like
games,
the Home Improvement video game,
yeah,
where you play as Tim Allen with a nail gun and you fight dinosaurs.
Who wouldn't want that though? My God. That's something for everyone. In the early history of video games, a lot of the designers were women. Like a lot of the early video game designers from like the 70s were women. Because back then anyway, it was a more meritocratic environment, and like female mathematicians and engineers weren't getting paid attention to at like older electronics firms. So they went into video games because they were, it was a new industry and they could make themselves known better.
Mm-hmm.
It's just funny how once that industry like solidified and matured, then it kicked the women back out. Like,
yeah,
the women.
Well, and a lot
pioneered
of it, is
it, and then they kicked them back out once it became secure.
Yeah, a lot of like gendering products, especially toys, is just about like profitability and marketability, and isn't actually like a lot of the time an indication of because there are no clean slate children. You're immediately inundated with like culture and like being told what you should and shouldn't like. I think there are some things that like maybe in general little girls like more, and in general little boys like more, but there are a lot of kids that like those lines are not very distinct in my experience with like the kids that have been in my life. And so a lot of the time it's like it's decided that it's for boys, and then because of social pressures we all just like agree. And
right.
Yeah, it's a shame we didn't get to see Arthur Morgan have kids and let his son play with a doll. You know?
Yeah.
You can play with the dolls, boy.
But
dolls are for everyone, Arthur Jr.
It's really interesting to like how much that stuff works, like not just with kids, but with adults, too. Mm-hmm. Like just being like, you don't like that. We decided what you like. And it's just, I don't know. I find it fascinating.
I remember.
It worked on me. Like I was like, yeah, I don't like video games.
Because it is kind of, I mean, I guess if you're looking at it from like a capitalist perspective, like it is like a risky thing to do. If you were going to like, we're going to make a video game and the character is going to be Native American and trans and in a wheelchair. But I would, that game sounds fun. I would play that. Yeah. So
if it's
don't
well
be afraid
done.
To.
I hope that after Black Panther made all that money, and I hope that after Captain Marvel is making all the money that it's making, and that hopefully that there'll be some video game equivalent of that where like some non-traditional protagonist destroys at the market, that can be over with.
Yeah.
Like,
I just hope no one forgets about white men though with all this stuff.
I really
you
hope
I mean?
Not.
I don't want to be I don't want to feel invisible.
If there's one thing that this podcast definitely wants,
yeah,
is to continue the prominence of white men.
Yeah,
absolutely.
The prominence and the
it's just
legacy.
I don't know if you guys know what it's like to, or if, I'm sorry, if you folks know what it's like to feel like you're being ignored and fading out of the culture.
I really don't. I have no clue. Yeah. I'm sure
it doesn't feel
like
good.
Something about, I mean, I'm very optimistic about like the success of Wonder Woman and Black Panther and all these things. It's like, see, like all these different identities can be the thing that usually white men are. Like, it's kind of, I feel like a tricky balance that it reminds me of like Obama winning, and it's like,
oh I know, yeah.
Well, you got it. You got the thing.
You got the thing, and
so,
that, but the rich still get rich.
Right. And it, like the actual like problem never got, in fact, the problem gets like worse because people are like, well, the problem was solved, and here's our proof that the problem was solved. So now we're not going to acknowledge it at all. And I'm like a little bit, like I'm starting to see that in a weird way in like movies and television where they're like, well, we have the one black character, and it's more than just tokenism like it was in
the
90s.
One. Right.
Because these are like three-dimensional interesting characters finally, but it's still just like a family drama and one of the kids was adopted and they're black, so problem solved. And like there's just like a lot of that happening that I'm like curious how much, like you said, like Black Panther might actually like change the culture or like encourage like video game companies to do it other than maybe their one game.
Yeah. Other than well, I mean, right. They found out that it could make money. So basically they'll try it until it flops and then they'll be like, oh, you see.
It was so inclusive in the 90s and then all of a sudden not again. And apparently it's because advertising, like companies and their advertising
agencies. There was a show about dinosaurs.
We're like, well, these demographics aren't the ideal demographics for this product.
They learn how to demographically
so then they were
slice.
Like,
yes.
Yes. So they were like, what about one channel?
So.
And so, then we can like decide from there, and then rather than actually deciding from there, they just went back to all white people on TV.
So not to distract too much, because it's a very fascinating point, but the only reason why I bring this up is because there's another very popular podcast on this network that is actually about the television show that made TV white in the 90s because of demographic slicing, and that show was Frasier.
Interesting.
Frasier was not a huge ratings winner, but the people who watched it tend to be very rich.
Yes.
And that's why it was on for 10 years.
I've always been so curious, why that show was so successful. Because I think it's really funny, but it is not
accessible,
really.
But it's because the people who watched it at the time had more money than the people who were watching other things.
Hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. Well, and so to that point, I think there is a huge possibility that that might end up being the case with like movies and television and video games again, even though we are now seeing another like diversity boom.
But Mike, do you play that? Are we really seeing a diversity boom? Do you see, or is it just like a lot of like with white guy stuff, like in current crop of video games? Does it feel more diverse to you since you've been in it intimately? And you can say no.
Not really. Yeah, I guess not really. I mean, like I said, though, I mean, so, like a lot of games now are sort of like create a character. So your character can be whatever you want it to be. But then, for a game like where there's, you know, a lot of voice acting and story, it does seem like, I mean, I just think of the games that came out in the past year, and it's like, or the games that I played. I played like The Last of Us, Battlefield, that had some diversity in it. You play as a black French unit in World War II, and then like none of the white French soldiers will talk to you because they're like ignore you and stuff. And then you find like your unit takes over this castle, and then at the end all the white French soldiers come in and they like pat you on the back and they're like good job. And I'm like, I don't need your approval.
Fuck you, you cracker
French, racist French piece of shit. I just remembered that I own stock in Take-Two Interactive, which is Rockstar's parent company.
Oh.
So everything they did is good.
Everything they did.
I don't want any diversity in this.
No diversity.
I want to make my $150.
Wow, this is a weird advertisement for you to get more money.
Yeah. The straight white guy. In the end, makes the money off this podcast.
Yeah.
Big surprise.
Big surprise.
Sorry, guys.
The only person in
hate
this
the game,
room.
Not the player. Well, Arthur, to spoil the thing, I mean, hit the fast forward button if you want to, but Arthur dies saving John, and he gives him his hat. So
hats are a big part.
Hats are a big thing.
Yeah, so then when you play as John, you can wear Arthur's hat, but to be honest, John's hat looks better. John's regular hat looks better on John than Arthur's hat.
Plus, so, it's sentimental. You don't want to accidentally drop it on something.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, it all comes back to hats.
Yeah.
As we wrap it up, it all comes back to hats. The hat is the legacy, and that is what we learn.
My biggest takeaway. My greatest joy playing it was choosing the outfit, which involved the hat.
I would happen to agree. All right, we are out of time. Anya, let everyone know in the audience where they can find you.
Great. Well, thank you for having me. I'm at Anya Voltz on everything. I have a monthly show called Thirst Trap, and we change locations, but you can keep up with it at Thirst Trap Comedy. And my website is anyavoltz.com, AnyaVolz.
Wonderful. And Mike, let everyone in the audience know where they can find you.
I'm at Mike Racine on Twitter, and I have a podcast called The Sit Down, and we talk about organized crime.
Oh my goodness. I did not know that. I'm going to have to do a bro episode on your podcast. I'm going to do like a meta episode. I think that's wonderful. As always, I am Gina Bloom. You can find me on all social media at Gina Bloom, JeenaBloom. And right here on Sweet, A Lady's Guide to Bro Culture on the More Banana Network. Thank you guys for listening to us talk about Red Dead Redemption 2. It seems odd to listen to people talk about a video game for an hour, but then again, so many of you watch people play a video game over the internet for hours at a time, so maybe I just don't know how the world works anymore. And that's all the time we have. Guys, keep a healthy selection of hats, and remember that boys are off limits. We'll be right back.